hymns that focus our hearts and minds to Christ and to his word. Let's take our Bibles tonight, and we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians this evening, chapter 2. And Jim was handing out half sheets of papers earlier, and he does such a good job at that. And if you would like one of those, there's a little outline as we go through. Probably a familiar passage to many of us, but one that I think is very powerful in the focus that it has on how God's word changes people when we follow what God calls us to do. What I'd like to do is read verses 11 through verse 13. We will take just a couple moments to kind of set the context for this letter. We walked through 1 Thessalonians together several years ago, but this is one of my favorite epistles because it shows what it looks like to be a Christian, what it looks like to be a new Christian specifically, and then what it looks like to grow in our walk with Christ through his word. The Apostle Paul is writing here in this first epistle that we have to the Thessalonians. I'll start reading in verse 11 of chapter 2. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Paul could tell from what he had heard about these Christians that the word of God was at work, was energizing, was active in the lives of these Christians. And he says, this is what we constantly thank God for. If we are a healthy church, then the word of God will be constantly at work in our lives, encouraging us, convicting us, always pointing us to Jesus, pointing us to loving God and loving others. And it's encouraging to see how this took place in the lives of these Christians in Thessalonica. Well, let's start with a word of prayer, and then we will walk through this passage together. We will look at what God has for us in it, and hopefully be an encouragement as we start a new week of ministry together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is true, that it is not just a book, but it is alive. It is a word that is living, that is alive and powerful and even sharper at times than a two-edged sword. It is designed to show us our need for Christ and show us what we need to change and what needs to be transformed in our lives. Father, we thank you for the testimony of these Christians in Thessalonica who were not perfect by any means, who had areas in their lives where they needed to still change and be like Jesus, but there was a desire in their heart to know your word and to let it change them. I pray that that would be true of us as well. We thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for his faithfulness and his example in following the word of God. Father, I pray that you would help us to see your word changing us. I pray that your word tonight would be an encouragement. It would encourage, it would exhort, it would convict, it would encourage us to be more like Christ this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The big idea for this evening as we walk through this passage is this. Do not ignore or underestimate the power of God's word. Don't ignore or underestimate the power of God's word. It's sad sometimes where I'll be talking with a brother or sister in Christ, maybe been saved for a number of years, and they say, you know, I just feel like I'm in this rut. And sometimes that happens to some us when we just kind of, sadly, maybe we start going through the motions or we allow the distractions of life or whatever, the pressures of life to kind of crowd in and we kind of lose our focus on the word a little bit. And it saddens me when I hear some Christians say, I just don't know how to get out of this. And yet it encourages me when they're open about that, because then we can say, well, here's how. Let's get back to the word. Let's get back to God's word. Let's get back to reading the word and applying it to our lives and looking at how Christ also obeyed the word. And he sets the example for us. Whenever we ignore the power of God's word or we underestimate it, we could possibly fall in the trap of thinking, well, this sin habit that I'm going through, I don't think there's any hope. And then we just kind of resolve ourselves to it. Or maybe, well, I've always kind of done my life this way. I've always kind of done this. And I know God's calling me to do this, but I just don't think it's possible. No, all things are possible through Christ. And if we will follow his word and have a heart to let his word change us, it will change us. Like Romans 12 says, we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So this is what's happening here for these believers. Now, as we talk about Thessalonica, we find Paul coming to Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. And in those verses 1 through 9, we see that he enters into the city having preparing to go to Athens in just a little bit, but he stops in Thessalonica, this Greek city, and he was able to minister in Thessalonica for at least 3 Sabbath days, it says. We don't know if that was 3 Sabbath days before the church or the church was formed and then 3 Sabbath days after, but he wasn't there very long because, unfortunately, unbelieving Jews came and persecution came, and Paul was forced to leave the city for even the safety of that church, but he was forced to leave the city. And he moved on to a Berea. But as he left this church, a newly formed church, they believed in the name of Christ, these Gentiles, most of them Gentiles. Some of them were Jews people as well who believed in their Messiah, Christ. But Paul was torn away from them. And he even says in chapter 3, I feel like we're torn away from you. And he was wondering how they're doing. Because the persecution that he left was still there. And there was still a pressure. And would these new believers, would they hold firm for Christ? Would they hold up under that stiff harassment that they were getting from unbelievers? If you look at chapter 2, let's go to verse 17. We see here this picture of what Paul's describing. This is a letter of thankfulness after he hears the good news. But he explains a little bit here why he's writing this letter. Chapter 2, verse 17, he says, "But since we were torn away from you, brethren, for a short time in person, but not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly with great desire to see you face to face because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy." Verse 1 of chapter 3, "Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. But," verse 6, "but now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you, for this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord." This is a wonderful epistle where you don't get this in a lot of, you don't get this very personal note in all the epistles. Sometimes Paul might be writing a letter like to the Colossians with a group that he had never actually met. Or maybe it was to the Romans, a group that too he hadn't fully met yet. But here he knew these believers. He had probably led personally a number of these believers to Christ. And he had longed to have that discipleship process with them to be able to be there. And because he wasn't able to, they sent Timothy back. Faithful Timothy sent him back to be, as it were, a discipler for them. And Timothy, after he returns, we don't know how long this took. It could have taken a couple months. It could have taken longer. We don't know. But Timothy comes back with good news. Paul, they haven't recanted. They haven't given up. They haven't doubted the faith, denied the faith. They have stayed faithful. So Paul writes this, and so this whole letter kind of goes back and forth between thankfulness and relief and thankfulness and exhortation and commands. So our passage this evening, coming back to chapter 2, verse 11, and actually I want to focus on verse 13. The whole time Paul was there, those 3 Sabbaths he was with them, perhaps a little longer than that, but look back at chapter 2, verse 9, because he recalled, I want to remember back several months earlier when we were with you, brothers. Look at chapter 2, verse 9. "If you remember, brothers, our labor and toil, we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. This is probably speaking of Paul working a job so he wasn't a burden financially on these Thessalonians. Verse 10, you are witnesses and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. Then he says, for you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you, encouraged you, and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And now here's the thanks. This is what we're going to focus on the next couple moments here. Verse 13. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received, they received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. One of the reasons I believe that they were able, obviously the only reason they received the word of God as truth is because the Spirit worked in their hearts and lives. He opened their eyes to really believe that this is true. But also, notice how Paul and his ministry team shared the word of God. There would be many people in that day who would come in like snake oil salesmen, and they would come in and they would want to sell the newest thing, or like we hear today sometimes, a prosperity gospel that people want to hear. Yes, God loves you. He wants you to be rich. Give me your money. There would be a lot of peddlers of false views out there. And Paul and Silas and Timothy did everything they could to not appear that way. They wanted to realize this is not Paul's word. This isn't Timothy's word. This is the word of the living God. And I know we don't want to read the whole epistle, but go back to chapter 2, verse 1. And Paul rejoices that with all the effort they did to show this is God's word, it actually received, it gained holding in their hearts. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, remember when they were in the prison, singing at midnight, earthquake, they were treated shamefully. We had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of our much conflict. Verse 3, for our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands, as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. He says, when we came, we preached the gospel. We didn't come making empty promises. We didn't come putting the focus on us, even like John the Baptist this morning. It's not about me. They pointed them to Jesus. They pointed to the word of God. And now we come to verse 13. He says, we thank God that you received the word of God as what it is, not man's word, but God's word, the very word of God. And what was the confirmation? What was the fruit that Paul was revealed by Timothy, or Timothy shared with Paul? What was the fruit of them knowing that they believed that this was the word of God? And it was they believed it for their own selves, for their own hearts. Here's a couple things. Look at verse 14. For, remember, whenever you see for, it's developing what he said before. Here's how we know you receive this word of God, not as the word of men, but of God. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews. The way that Paul knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that these people believed the word of God because they were willing to suffer for Christ. When the persecution came, they didn't step back and say, oh, you know what? Yeah, that's fearful. We're not going to do that. They didn't say, you know what? I don't want to lose my life, or I don't want to lose my house, or I don't want to go through this harassment for Christ. So you know what? I'll go back to my old ways. No, they stayed the course. They suffered well for Christ. Not only did they imitate the churches, but look at verse 15. These Jews, what he's saying here is the churches that are in Jerusalem, they've been persecuted by the unbelieving Jews, and you identified with them. Because those same unbelieving Jews that were in Jerusalem traveled over to Thessalonica and persecuted them as well. But he says, you know what? You're in good company because you're imitating the churches of Christ, and more importantly, you're imitating Christ. Look at verse 15. These same unbelieving Jews who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and drove us out and displeased God, oppose all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved. So always, as always, to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them at last. We see here that these believers confirmed that they believed God's word through their suffering, suffering well for Christ. They imitated Christ. They imitated faithful Christians. Go back to chapter 1 real quick. We see some more fruit that Paul has already mentioned about how they received the word of God. Look at chapter 1 and actually look at verse 4. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Why do you know this, Paul? Verse 5. Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Not only were they suffering for Christ, but they were an inspiration, an example to other believers. This is powerful. Imagine back to 1980 when Open Door Bible Church was formed. And imagine with me if the Apostle Paul had been the one to plant that church. Okay, just to kind of put this in our perspective a little bit. And as Paul travels down the road to Lancaster to start another church, by the time he gets there, people are saying, oh, we already heard about a church. We already heard about this in Thessalonica. We already heard about, not Thessalonica, we heard about this in Middletown and High Spire at the time. We heard about this already because they've already been coming here and telling us about it. And there's been a change. There's been a change in these people. I mean, they used to serve idols. They're not doing that anymore as they come for commerce or whatever. This is what Paul's rejoicing in. I go to share Christ and people say, oh yeah, we've heard about Christ. What? Yeah. There's these Thessalonians. They've come here already. They're sharing the gospel. We've heard about a change that happened there. Paul's like, praise God. This is what Timothy's encountering as he's going to these towns traveling. This is what we are hearing about. And so he says, you have great confirmation in your actions and your life that you have received the word of God. They had not ignored, they had not underestimated the power of God's word. So the question we have for us tonight is this, and this is where we'll come to our outline a little bit here, but here's a question as we start going through these thoughts this evening. Have I truly received the word of God by faith? And are we continuing to receive God's word by faith as not the word of man? I pray it's never the word of Pastor Sam or our elders or deacons or teachers. I pray that it's the word of God. But have we truly received, are we still receiving this as the word of God? And here's some confirmations. I think we can see from the text this evening that when we truly believe. This is our first thought this evening. We're going to look at three different ways, three different realities for receiving the word of God by faith. When we truly believe in the power of God's word, we will truly obey God's word. We will. It doesn't mean it'll always be easy. It doesn't mean that we will have perfect obedience all the time. But when we truly believe that God's word is true, we will obey it. We see here in verse 13, it says that he says, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God. For all their lives, many of these Thessalonians had heard many words of men as they worshiped their Greek deities and worshiped their idols in the Greek cities around them. They had heard many things about how they came to be, but when they heard the word of God, they realized, no, this is true. All these other words of men, they do not stand in comparison to the word of Almighty God. And they believed it. When we truly believe in the power of God's word, we will truly obey his word. So we think of this new year. How is God going to call you, or how is he calling you to obey his word? Maybe it has in the area of your own personal time with the Lord, meditating in his word. Maybe he's challenging you that you need to this year, spend a good time in his word, preparing your heart and mind for action, for ministry. Maybe the Lord is challenging you this year that in order for you to truly believe in his word, you need to obey his word in the area of evangelism, telling other people about Christ. I'm hoping that this year we'll be able to have a series, maybe on Sunday evenings or something to that effect, for those who want to be here, for those who want to grow and want to go out to share the good news of Christ. How can we share the gospel effectively? How can we go and share the gospel and really then put it to practice? I hope that we can do that this year. I don't think any COVID things can keep us from sharing the gospel or should keep us from sharing the gospel as able. We're going to see people. We can still tell them about Jesus. I hope that we can have that, some times for that. But even if we don't have those times, what is God teaching you in your heart and life? Showing you in his word that he wants you to obey him through evangelism. Maybe it's more in the area of discipleship. God is burdening you. There's a brother or sister here in Christ that I want you to reach out to. I want you to pray for them. I want you to tell them you're praying for them. I want you to encourage them throughout the week because maybe you see they're struggling in this area. Or maybe you see they're growing and you want to encourage them in this area. The elders were meeting on Thursday, again, just praying for this next year, thanking God for this previous year, looking forward to what God may have for us this year. And it came up in the conversation with the reality of, are we co-laborers together as a church family, or are we consumers? It's something to consider. As you think of your role as a member of Open Door Bible Church, are you a co-laborer, or are you just a consumer? We need to be co-laborers together. I love even how he talks. Look at chapter 3 in verse 2. He says, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker, in the gospel of Christ. I love how Paul never thought that it was all about him. He said, I've got a ministry team. In fact, if you look at many of Paul's letters at the end, he greets a lot of people. And he sends greetings from a lot of people. Why? Because he wants them to know, it's not about me. It's a ministry team. We're in this together. Now, we all have different talents, different abilities. And again, I'm not trying to make commercials for our annual meeting, but I'm praying for this annual meeting that we'll be able to really express our desire as elders and as leaders in this church for us to be a church that is a co-laboring church rather than a consuming church. And I understand there's challenges every year. By God's grace, we will be a church that believes in the power of God's word. We want to obey what he's called us to do and together go forward in discipleship, evangelism, and worship together. But when we truly believe in the power of God's word, we will truly obey his word. If you look through the rest of this letter, Paul's going to talk about areas that they do need to improve in, or areas that maybe as new believers, they're not as strong in yet, such as praying without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Don't quench the spirit. Don't be lazy. He'll have a whole section devoted in chapter 4 and 5 to that. Don't be lazy. But he's going to encourage them to keep receiving the word of God. Believe it and obey it. Secondly, so this kind of goes along with this, okay? First, when we truly believe in the power of God's word, we'll truly obey his word. Secondly, when we truly obey God's word, we will truly be transforming into the image of Christ. I didn't want to say transformed because it's an ongoing process. But we will be transforming into the image of Christ. Caleb and William have these little toys called Transformers. And I don't know a whole lot about the movie and the cartoons or whatever it is, but these kind of neat little toys. And they've been around for a long time. I remember them when I was growing up. Now they're kind of coming back again. But these, you know, it looks like a truck, and then you turn it around, and boom, it's this robot-looking thing. And it's transformed. But in the process of them turning that from the truck into the robot, it's a process of transformation. It's transforming. What God is doing for us through his word is he is transforming us more and more into the image of Christ. And along the way, there are painful times of suffering. But also along the way, there are times of joy, even in the suffering, of seeing him make us more like Christ, changing the way we think about him. When we truly believe in God's word, we'll obey it. And the blessing is when we truly obey God's word, we will truly be transforming into the image of Christ. He says here that you became imitators, verse 14, of the churches of God in Christ Jesus. Back in chapter 6, he says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be like Christ this year, more and more every day, by being transformed into his image through obedience to his word. Do not ignore, may we not ignore or underestimate the power of God's word. And then lastly, thirdly, when we are truly being transformed, in the process we are truly being transformed into the image of Christ, we will truly be fulfilling our calling as Christians to love God with everything in us. Before he got to verse 13, he said in verse 11, let's just look at that again, for you know how like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. He says, we didn't just say at one time, hey, walk worthy of the Lord. But they look at the words. First off, we exhorted, we encouraged, we charged. Three powerful words coming at it from different angles. Encouraging gently, encouraging strongly, repeating over and over again, walk worthy of God as he's called you to. Fulfill your calling in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Did you ever sit back and ask yourself, I was thinking of this especially this afternoon, but how do we know? Think of your own personal life experience. How did you know and come to believe who God is? Maybe it took place for you earlier at an early age. Maybe it took place in your teens, maybe in your adult years, but you came to believe truly who God is. How did you come to know that? How did we know and come to believe that God is worthy of all glory? How do we know and come to believe that God has called us as Christians into his kingdom and glory? How do we know that? It's only through his word. It's not because some pastor said it. It's not because someone else. It's because God in his word has revealed this to us. The only way we know who God is, the only way we truly know that he is worthy of all glory, the only way we know what God's calling is for us through faith in Jesus Christ is through his holy word, through his holy scriptures, through his word, the Bible. And obviously his Holy Spirit does that work for us. May we not ignore or underestimate the power of God's word. May we truly believe in his word so that we will obey his word and be transformed and be transforming, truly be transforming the image of Christ. As we close, on the back sheet of your paper there, there was a quote that actually on Facebook sometimes, if those of you who are on Facebook, those of you who aren't, you still have your identity, so good for you. But on Facebook, this just popped up as a memory from time to time. These memories pop. Oh, you shared this 3 years ago, and this one popped up. And it's a quote from A.W. Tozier, but it really, Sarah saw it the other day, and she pointed it out to me, and I think this is just a good reminder and a sobering reminder. A.W. Tozier said, most Christians don't hear God's voice because we've already decided we aren't going to do what he says. One thing I love about A.W. Tozier is his bluntness, but his honesty. Most Christians don't hear God's voice because we've already decided we aren't going to do what he says. Have you ever caught yourself doing that in your prayer life? You're praying to the Lord, God, would you please work this out? But in your heart, you already know, I'm not going to do this, Lord, and I'm not going to do this, but I want you to do this. Maybe we've felt that or known that in the way we read God's word. God, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear what you're going to tell me. But in your heart, you already know, but I'm going to hold on to this sin. I'm going to hold on to this bitterness. I'm going to hold on to this schedule because I don't want to change my schedule because this makes me comfortable. But God, I want you to do whatever you want in my life, but keep the schedule this way, whatever it might be. May we not fail to hear God's voice because we've already decided that we're not going to do what he says. So some questions as we close out our day of worship. I hope that we can answer in the affirmative of this, but this is just for your own heart. One, do you truly believe that God's word is true? I hope we all would say, yes, I believe that. Secondly, do you truly believe that God's word will transform your life if you obey it? And it won't happen all overnight, but it'll be a daily more and more like Christ. There will be bumps in the road, but we will become more like Christ. Do you really believe that God's word will transform your life if you obey it? I hope that you do. I hope you're seeing that process. Thirdly, is there anything holding you back? What is holding you back, perhaps? Is there anything holding you back from fully believing in or fully obeying God's word? To believe God's word, fourthly, is to obey his word. Do we realize that? You can't say, I believe God's word and not obey it. That's what James is all about, right? Show me your faith by your works. Now, we can play games with people, but may we not play games with God in 2021. And when we're tempted to, may we say, no, I believe in the power of God's word. I do not want to ignore God's word, that it wants to, the work it wants to do. So here's how we can pray. And what I thought we'd do as we close tonight is, well, we'll close with a hymn, and then I thought we could just pray as couples or pray as individuals, or if you want to gather together and pray through these three thoughts here. Here's what they are. Pray for God to help you believe and obey his word. And I know in my life there are times when I am having a greater focus on God's word than other times, and pray that God would help you to have a good focus on God's word every day by his grace. Pray for God to help you understand his word, because that's really important. It's not just reading, right? It's understanding his word as I believe it's true so that I know how to obey and I know what God wants me to do. And then let's look outward, not just inward. Pray for God to help Open Door Bible Church to believe, obey, and understand God's word. As I think of what the greatest need that Open Door has, it's this right here, that we will believe, obey, and understand God's word. Maybe we should do it the other way. Believe, understand, and obey God's word. That's what we need. Because if we really believe it, right, believing God's word is obeying God's word. So in a moment, we're gonna close, and I'm going to close in prayer. Briefly, we're going to sing a hymn, and then I would just love for us just to have a couple moments of prayer together. Let's just pray around the room. Pray as a family. Pray individually if you'd like. And when we're done with prayer, then we'll go our separate ways, or we'll help take down Christmas decorations if we're able to. But let's end this first Lord's Day in 2021 with prayer, thanking him for his goodness to us. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your word. Thank you that your word that is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, I pray that you would help us to be a people, to be a church that is a co-laboring church for the glory of God, not just a consumer group. I pray, Father, that you would help us to be in prayer for our own hearts and souls, that we would believe your word, we would obey your word, we understand how you want us to obey. And I pray you'd help our church family as well, both those who are strong spiritually, those who are struggling spiritually. I pray that you would help us to come back to your word and truly be a church that goes by the word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.